As we reflect on this passage for tonight, I want us to be thinking about how we can apply this passage to our own lives. The theme of Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13 is the devil's temptation of Jesus. This is the passage that begins the period of Lent. Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, faced temptation. He had a human nature, he had a divine nature, but a human nature as well. And because of his human nature, he experienced temptation, and we experience temptation as well. What can we learn from this passage tonight as we focus on God's word? First off, I want to say that the real issue is not merely avoiding temptation, but rather overcoming and defeating temptation. We do this by refusing to be intimidated. We do not have to let the devil push us around. God's power is available to us, and we need to try to utilize God's power as we think of our own struggle with temptation. Notice our passage for tonight. How did Jesus act in this passage? Did he merely give in to what the devil wanted? No. He did not allow the devil to take over. As we look at this passage, did Jesus back down from the devil? No. In our struggles, we need to stand strong, refusing to give in. But as we do this, we need to realize that we need Jesus' help. We need his strength, and we need to depend on his power. What we learn from this text is that we need to stand our ground no matter what, and we need to refuse the devil's working in our life. We are called in this passage to not be intimidated. But what else can we do as we think of this passage tonight? As we live our lives, we need to recognize the type of temptations we face and be prepared for them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." As we evaluate our lives, we need to know what our weaknesses are. And many of us, most of us, probably everyone here, we know what our weaknesses are. This text reminds us that we need to be aware. We need to be watchful. Being watchful is one of the key weapons in our battle with temptation. Just as the Army, just as the Air Force has people who are on the lookout for the enemy, so too must we be on alert. As we seek to do this, the most valuable thing to remember is that we are not alone. God is available, and we need to ask for his strength. We need to ask for his help. In Psalm 50, verse 15, God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Relying on God's power is absolutely necessary in overcoming temptation. If we're going to overcome temptation, we can't do it by our own power. We need God's help. God is stronger than our temptations, and he is the one in whom we must run to. Now, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, what do we see here in this passage? What do we see Jesus do? What does he do repeatedly here? He uses scripture. He says, "It is written." If we are going to overcome sin and temptation in our lives, we must go to scripture as well. God's word must be a part of our lives. God's word can bring encouragement to our lives. God's word can lift us up. God's word can challenge us. God's word tells us the right path. And God's word indeed does change us. God working through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray for the Holy Spirit to bring illumination to our minds. I mentioned a few minutes ago about the 16th century Protestant Reformation, of which we are a part, and it was the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit. We can't merely seek to understand God's Word on our own. We need the Holy Spirit's help. But as we receive the illumination of the Holy Spirit, God works in our lives. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul says that if we're living in the Holy Spirit, he produces what? He produces fruit in our lives. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The change that God brings to our lives matters, and do not let anyone ever tell you differently. James Calvert was a zealous missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. His faithful work bore fruit in the lives of those accustomed to taking the life of others. Years later, an English earl visited the Fiji Islands and was critical of the chief's conversion to Christianity. And this is what the earl said to the chief. He said, "You're a great leader, but it's a pity you've been taken in by those foreign missionaries. People are tired of the threadbare story of Christ dying on a cross for the sins of humankind. We all know better now. I'm sorry you've been so foolish as to accept the Christian story." Those were his words. But listen to how the chief responded. With a gleam in his eye, he said to the earl, "See that great rock over there? On it we smash the heads of our victims. Notice that furnace next to it? In that oven we formerly roasted the bodies of our enemies. If it had not been for those good missionaries and the love of Jesus that changed us from cannibals into Christians, you would never leave this place. You better thank the Lord for the gospel. Otherwise, we would have already be feasting on you. If it were not for the Bible and its salvation message, you would now be our supper." See, the truth is that the gospel transforms. And the reason it transforms is because it's true. We believe that God's word is true and that it is truth that transforms. It's historically reliable. God's word is historically true. And it's historic truth that transforms our lives today through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Protestant Reformation was all about. This is what the reformers wanted Lent to be focused on. Not all the accretions that had come on it from the medieval Roman Catholic Church. They wanted a movement that got back to the Bible. And the reason they wanted that is so lives could be transformed. And we see transformation in our story tonight. If we're going to overcome temptation and sin in our lives, we need to live in the Spirit and bear fruit. Because of God's work in us, we are indeed, like those Fiji Christians, a changed people. Now, sometimes we feel overpowered by temptation. What can we do? I want to say tonight that we need to refocus our attention on something else besides the temptation. Diverting our attention is an effective way of dealing with temptation. In other words, we must cast our attention on godly things. You don't put a fire out by putting your hand on the fire. What do? You have to put the opposite element on the fire. And the opposite element for fire is water. So we have a call tonight. If we're going to deal with temptation, that fire, we need to respond to it by refocusing our lives on godly things. The Bible says that we need to put our attention on that which is pure, on that which is godly. So if we're struggling with temptation, I want to say tonight, refocus. We need to set our minds on something else, something that is right and good, something that pleases God. In our text, when Jesus faced temptation, he refocused his attention on God by going to Scripture. Scripture needs to shape our minds as well. It's where we need to go. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers in the history of the church, he said this. He said, "A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not." In other words, if we take God's word seriously and read it over and over, it provides a strong foundation for our lives. We need to read it. We need to hear it. And you hear it every Sunday morning from this pulpit. We need to chew on God's word. God's word has a powerful impact on our lives. And as we think of the gospel stories tonight, as we, in this period of Lent, look to the Easter story, and we look to what came before that in Jesus' life, what we're reminded of, we see in the Gospels, we see Jesus' miracles, right? We see his healing power, and those are all tremendous, and those are all wonderful, and we give thanks to God for those actions of Jesus in the gospel. But as we look to the cross, and as we look to the resurrection of Jesus, we have something that hits home. Those other miracles are great. But when we look to the cross and the resurrection, we look at something that God has done, which is even far better than all of those other miracles. And when we think of the cross, we think of something that is about us. That's how we draw closer to Christ, by thinking of what he has done for us on the cross. That is a far greater action than all the other supernatural miracles of the Bible, is what, not what he did for other people, but what he did for us on the cross. And I hope you grasp that during this special season of Lent. As we think of this issue of temptation, let us also remember that worship and praising God is also important. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5 that we are to turn from sin and instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music to the Lord. Worship itself affects us, and it helps us live a spirit-filled life. Make no mistake tonight. If you neglect worship, if you neglect being a part of worship, there will be a negative consequence in your life. Anybody ever experienced that? If you get away from the spiritual routines, if you move away from the life of the church for a while, you don't feel as good. You need the encouragement of God's word. You need the encouragement of other believers. We need to come to worship and confess our sins and receive and understand God's rich and amazing grace, the abundant forgiveness that he only can give. Worship is central to our walk with Christ and therefore in our battle against temptation. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Tonight, I want to encourage you to turn over. We all must turn over our struggles to God. You cannot do it on your own if we are going to win this battle. Ask for God's help. And remember these words from Paul's letter to the Galatians. He wrote, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me." Remember tonight that if we are in Christ, we have new life. We have new life. The old is gone. We have been forgiven. Yes, we will fall down. Yes, we will still sin. But the battle against our sin has been won, and it has been won by Jesus' death on the cross. The penalty has been fully paid. We do not have to live a life controlled by sin any longer. And because of that, we have great freedom, knowing that we are indeed a forgiven people. As I close this evening, I want to close with some words from an old Presbyterian Bible teacher who said, "The Christian has not merely the promise of new life, but they already have new life," he said, "here and now." It's not just new life about the future, you know, receiving eternal life, but we have new life here and now. Think about that tonight. And as we think about Jesus in his battle for temptation, I think one of the things that can be most helpful to us as we think of all these things tonight is that we need to live for him. Too often we get self-centered. We get focused on doing our own thing. And when we get caught up in the living for self, pride can come in. And as C.S. Lewis says, pride is the biggest, the most deadly of sins, because out of pride, everything else flows. So tonight, as we leave here, and as we think of the battle with sin and temptation, I want to encourage you to live for Christ wherever you may go, whether it's in the school, the workplace, in your family, on the playground, at the park, wherever you go, live for him. And if you do that, that will help you win the battle against sin and temptation. If you leave here tonight focusing on serving others, that will help you in winning the battle against sin and temptation. May this season of Lent be a special time of spiritual renewal for you. Let's pray.